Proverbs chapter 6, and let's begin to read in verse 20. Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." I found that very interesting, that the Word of God was going to keep us while we were sleeping. Ain't that something tonight? Amen? It's good to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be honest with you. I believe it keeps us. Amen. Verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought low to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" I preached not too long ago on you play with fire, you get burned. Verse 29, "So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, and therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again, Lord, and that for the mercy that you've given us. And Lord, you've been so kind to us tonight. And Lord, it's come now time for the preaching hour. And Lord, we certainly just need you tonight and that to come by. Would you help us to preach tonight? I cannot do this on my own. And Lord, I just pray that you clear my mind and my thoughts and keep Satan far at bay tonight, God, from just messing with my mind. Lord, I just need a touch and that from heaven. God, would you please just come by? Lord, you said in John 15:5, "For without you, we can do nothing." And God, I just pray that you'd help tonight. Lord, as we look in the Word of God now, I pray that folk would be blessed by it and encouraged. Let somebody might be lost come and get saved tonight. God, I pray that you'd encourage them in salvation. Lord, now I pray you meet with us and forgive us for we fail in this night. Now, God, I pray that you'd help. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory for it all. Do save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. In Proverbs chapter 6 and the verses that we've read, he deals in that primarily. He's dealing that with instruction from the Word of God. And he deals in that with the sin and that of adultery. Now, tonight, if you don't think adultery is a grave sin, now I'm not going to deal with adultery too much tonight, but friend, I'm going to tell you, God in the Old Testament law, he said that to take the adulterer and the adulteress and bring them and stone them. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight, I think that tells us what God thinks about adultery this evening. A lot of people don't think a whole lot and that about the bonds and that of marriage, and the faithfulness that should be placed upon marriage itself. But like I said last week, I believe it was last week as I was preaching, that marriage is the institution that God created, and he uses that type of relationship to describe his relationship that he has with the church tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, we understand that. And so I'm going to tell you tonight, not only by the sin of adultery, but sin itself, and that brings some things into our life. If you look in verse 33, and I'm going to preach out of this. I'm going to deal with these other verses here in just a second. But when I preach tonight, I'm going to preach out of verse 33. It says, "A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." That's what that sin does tonight. It creates a wound in your life. Now, first of all, if you look at the scriptures that we read tonight, verses 20 through 23, we see the encouragement here of Solomon and that to keep the Word of God. First of all, it was taught by his mother and by his father. He said, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Can I encourage you parents tonight and that to give your children and that the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Encourage them to read the Word of God and live the Word of God and that before them so that they might grow and that learn what to do in life by the Word of God. He said to bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Everywhere do you go, have the Word of God and that with you. You know what David said, I believe it was in Psalms 119. He said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to encourage you tonight to hide the Word of God in your heart. Amen. That way, when you've got some decisions out there to make, that friend, it'll be with you. Hey, listen, when you lay down, what do you say? When thou goest, it'll lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Hey, listen, that's the truth right there. Hey, how many times have y'all that read the Word of God and meditate on Scripture just be driving down the road by yourself and having a time of quiet time? You've turned the radio off and you're just meditating on some things and before you know it, some Scripture and that comes to your mind. Hey, ain't God good tonight to bless us with His Word? Amen. I love the Word of God. I want to encourage you tonight to teach your children and that the Word of God. Verses 24 through verses 26, we see the warning in that against the strange and the evil woman, how she works and how she will destroy it. If you want to know some more about the strange woman, you can go over to Proverbs chapter 7 as Solomon warns his son and that about the strange woman. Listen, he said in verse 21, with her much fire speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and the bird that hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Can I say tonight that sin of adultery, that sin of fornication, is going to get you, amen. If you want to fool around with it and mess around in it, it'll get you, and it'll kill you, and it'll ruin you and your life. Verses 27, verse 28 talks about, gives us a great example right here. I've messing around and that with fornication and adultery. It's just like playing with fire. You will get burned. There's no maybe to it. There's no maybe not. Friend, it's going to happen. I'll guarantee you tonight, you get to fooling around and messing with some man's wife or messing with some woman's husband tonight. I'll tell you, it's going to come back and it's going to get you every time. Amen. It'll happen. Said, so he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. That's why the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 now said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. That's a good piece of scripture right there. He said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You know what? Listen to me, fellas. Listen to me, young men. You know what? Amen. Listen to me, parents, by the way. You know what? When you let them, that girl and that boy go out together, I'm just telling you tonight, you better be careful about letting them go out together. Amen. By theirself. Hey, Lee, what are you talking about? Hey, we forget how things were when we was that age. And hormones are running wide open. And friend, if you don't have temptation without opportunity is one thing. And opportunity without temptation is another. But friend, when you put opportunity and temptation together, I don't care how good they are. I hope they are that good. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will deceive them, lead them down the wrong path. And before you know it, they've got a wound that seems to can't be healed. Amen. But you mess around in adultery and in fornication. He said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? It leads to fornication, you see. It's going to lead to that. Let me put my glasses on where I can see it. It's going to lead down that road right there. Hey, boys, keep your hands to yourself tonight. Amen. Keep your hands to yourself. I believe that's a good piece of advice. Amen. I believe it is. I believe that's good. You may not think so, but I know that's scripture tonight. And you ought to teach your girls that, that if a boy tries to put his hands on her, to punch him square in the nose. Amen. Don't y'all think so? I think so. I think you ought to go home with a bloody nose if he puts his hands on her tonight. Amen. Amen. And then if daddy's any count, he'll have a broken out and I may move on. Amen. I'm very quiet. I'm going to dig a hole I can't get out of tonight. Well, I don't know how we got here. I didn't mean to get here tonight, but ain't that good tonight. Amen. Amen. He gives a difference here, stealing and that of the sin of adultery. He talks about a man stealing to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. He said, you know, men don't despise a thief if he's still to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. I mean, about the only reason I wouldn't despise a thief tonight, if he was stealing because he was hungry. If a man is truly stealing because he's hungry, he's still a thief. But the Bible said right here, we don't despise him near as much, or we don't despise him if he's stealing because he's hungry. But he said right here, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance. There is a restitution that has to be made for that sin, and there is a payment that has to be made for it. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You see, there is a lack of understanding in this sin, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. There is a destruction that comes with this sin. So I want to encourage all of us men tonight to be careful, and all of you ladies to be careful with that. But in verse 33, here's what I want to preach tonight. And he talks about the sin of jealousy. In verses 34 and verse 35, you can look in Numbers chapter 5 and see the law with jealousy. But the thing about jealousy is you can't pacify jealousy.
Amen.
Now if you read that right there, it said, he'll not regard any ransom, neither will he give, and neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. You can't pacify jealousy tonight. It don't matter. I mean, it's just a rage that comes up in a man or in a woman tonight. But listen, I want to look in verse 33. And we went through all that introduction to get here. It talks about a wound and a dishonor shall he get. And his reproach shall not be wiped away. And I want to preach tonight having a thought on being wounded and scarred. Now, tonight, did you know that you can't have a scar and that without having a wound? Now, you've got to have a wound before you get a scar tonight. Now, listen, there's some wounds that are caused on purpose. When they took out my part of my colon back in August, I've got four wounds on my stomach where they cut me open and took out part of my colon, and they're all healed up. But, you know, I can look in a mirror and see where they cut me at. Why is that? Because there's some scars that's been left from them wounds. They took out my gallbladder. I don't know, it's been a long time ago since they took out my gallbladder. I think back in 07 they took out my gallbladder. That's been 10 years ago. And you know what about, and even though I know it's not there, I can't tell that it ain't there. Amen. I don't know that I'm missing my gallbladder. Sure, my body does, but I don't know it. But you know, I got to looking the other day, and all them scars from where they took out my gallbladder healed up. And about all them scars is about gone. You can still look every now and again and you can see them, but they come from a wound. Then you know, I've got some spots on my chest down in here and maybe up in here one or two that when I had the chicken pox, when I was a little boy, when I was about in the fourth grade, I've still got some scars left over from when I had the chicken pox. And so not only does a wound cause scars on your life, but a disease can. And we're going to look at that tonight. And I look at what wounds us and what scars us tonight. Now listen tonight. Like I say, some are caused on purpose. But most are caused by accident. And so it said right here, as he dealt with the sin and that of adultery, he talks about how they got a wound. Can I say that first of all tonight, being wounded and scarred, it comes from sin. Sin itself will wound you. You get to dabbling around in sin. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about necessarily the wound or the sin of omission a lot of times. And by the way, when we don't do something that we should have done, friend, that is a sin. Amen. Any disobedience in that to God is a sin. But a lot of times I'm talking about tonight in that sin of commission where we've done some things that we shouldn't have done. Maybe that we've acted a way that we shouldn't have acted. We've done some things that we shouldn't have done. But friend, tonight, the first thing that we have to understand is that it wounds us when sin and that creeps up in our life, whether it is the sin of commission, maybe the sin of pride, friend, where we get high and lifted up, whether it is the sin and that of where, friend, we get halted, whatever it is that makes us and takes us against God, it creates a wound on us. Now, if you want to fight with God, you help yourself. But I guarantee you, He's going to win tonight. Amen. Now, the other day, I was working, and I reached across a piece there, and I got caught on a piece of metal. And before I knowed it, that thing had cut me three times. And you say, why is that? Because I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Now, let me say tonight, that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, to see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly means with caution. Now, we just don't up and fall off into sin. We don't up and just stumble and fall in that big mud hole. But friend, I'm telling you tonight, if we're not careful, sin will have done wounded us before we know it. What kind of sin are you talking about? He talks about here the sin of adultery, the sin of fornication. That sin, those sins that are done in our body tonight. I was talking to a fella the other day, and he had run into a preacher that was backslid. And he was drinking a beer at the restaurant. And I'm getting way ahead of myself here tonight. But he was drinking a beer, sitting there drinking a beer. Shame on him, ain't that right? Amen. Amen. The preacher shouldn't drink. And by the way, you shouldn't either. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us over there, I believe it is, in the book of Proverbs, that strong drink is wine is a mocker, strong drink a rager, and he that is deceived thereby is not wise. But as I was talking to this feller, and we were discussing that situation, you say, is gospel? Oh, no, because I'm going to deal with that situation. I'm going to talk to him about it. Don't think I won't. I know who he is. And but what he's doing is he is causing a wound to himself that I don't think he sees. You know that if you go out and friend, you do something, and I hadn't given this much thought. I told that gentleman that I was talking with, I said, you know, if you're going to sin, there's a little bit of me that says if you're going to sin, you just ought to be man enough to sin. You know what I'm saying? But then there's something in there too that you have to understand. That friend, when people see you do those things, that is hurting your testimony tonight. Even if they get right with God, there's still a wound there, you see. And that wound may heal up, but there's going to come a scar, and I'll deal with that here in just a second. The wound that comes a lot of times is it hurts us in our testimony. I can take you right now and show you a church that some adultery took place in that church. The preacher, being the pastor and a preacher, you hear all kinds of stuff. I mean, think about what you know. Seriously, think about what you know and then compound that, because there's a good chance if you've heard that story, I probably have too. Amen. Man, you ought to just, you know, I'd like to live like my grandmother did. You know what she used to say? What my grandmother used to say? If it don't involve me, don't tell me.
That's right. Praise God.
That's a good way to live, ain't it?
Praise God.
Yes. It don't involve you, don't listen to it.
Amen.
But there was some adultery took place in that in a church in a very, how do you put it, in a very... trying to think of the word. This family is very well known in that church, and they're very prominent. That's the word I was looking for in this church. And you know what that's done? That has hurt their testimony, you see. to let that take place. Now, do you think that those people can forgive them? Sure they can. I have no doubt that Christian people can forgive them. But don't you think there's going to be a scar there? Right now there's still a wound because it's still fresh and it's still there. But I'm just telling you, when you get involved in sin, I can't get away from this tonight. It's going to hurt you no matter how you look at it tonight. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how you think you can get away with it, how you might hide it, it's going to come out. The Bible is right. I looked at it this morning in the book of Numbers. He said, be sure that your sin will find you out. It's going to hurt.
Amen.
I'm going to use myself as an example tonight. Lord help us. And I was thinking about this, and I don't ever want this to happen. Can I tell you tonight that your sin just don't affect you? It don't affect you only. It affects you, but it just don't affect you only. If I was to cheat on my wife, God help us tonight, first she'd wait for me to go to bed and she knows where my guns are. I'm just being honest tonight. Do you know that sin would not only affect me, but it would affect her? And if you're married tonight and you do that, it not only affects you, but it affects your wife or affects your husband. And if you've got young ones tonight, it's going to affect them. And if you belong to this church, I'll guarantee you it's going to affect this church tonight. And every one of us is going to have a wound because of it. It's going to wound us, you see. Sin is going to wound you tonight. Sometimes it is a spiritual wound. Sometimes it is a mental wound. It affects us. It messes everything up. And we cannot function as we should. You ever had a broke arm or a broke leg? I never had a broke arm or a broke leg. I had a broke pinky toe one time. That thing messed me up. I'm telling you. I caught that. My wife was cooking pancakes one Saturday morning, I believe it was. She had pancakes, and I come stumbling out of the bedroom. We hadn't been married but about a year and a half. I come stumbling out of the bedroom, sleeping my eyes, wiping my eyes, and the next thing I know, I caught that left toe and that on the door jamb going out and bent it back. Sideways. Now, not up, but sideways. Amen, brother. It hurts, don't it? You know what that caused me? A wound. Do you know how long it took me before I could wear cowboy boots again? I wore a lot of cowboy boots. But you know how long it took me? It was a good 6 months before I could ever get my foot down in a cowboy boot. Why? That toe was swelled. That toe was sore. And it hurt. You mess around in sin tonight, it's going to hurt. And you're not going to be able to function like you should. You got a broke arm? Can you function like you should? You break your fingers? Hey, Danny, when you cut your hand at the shop, you couldn't function like you normally could you? I mean, you're all healed up and doing well. There's a scar there, though, ain't there? We'll deal with that here in just a second. When sin slips in, you can't function right as a Christian. You can't do it. You're going to be lucky to be able to function right, and that is a human being because the Holy Spirit is inside of you and it's just screaming at you and telling you that sin's hurting you. You need to get it right, and you can't function when you're doing these things. Just can't do it. When they cut on me to take out part of my colon, I couldn't function properly. I mean, man, I was sore where they cut me at. I didn't want to move. Why? Had a wound. Didn't want to move. Didn't want to do what I should be able to do. You say, well, that was all planned. It was all planned, but it still wounded me. And can I tell you that sometimes sin will wound us physically? God has a way of getting your attention tonight. I can show you a fellow right now that was up in Sweetwater years ago, and God was calling him to preach, and he would not do it. He refused to do it. And so one 4th of July, him and a buddy of his, I believe it was, and that decided that now they're drinking and they're going to go get them some women. He's going to cheat on his wife. But before he could get there, he ended up wrecking his car. And I'll be honest with you, from there on out, that fella never was right in the head, if you'd let me say that. His speech was slurred. He drug his feet. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you mess around with sin, that's all that happened. I can think of a lady that I know, a young lady that I know, got to doing some things that she should not do. And I don't know all that story that I think I know, I guess you might say. But I do know this, she was doing some things that she shouldn't do. And I'm talking about back in the late 70s and the early 80s. And I've heard people talk about how beautiful she was. But you know, after she got to doing some things that she shouldn't do and ended up in a car wreck, it debilitated her. Turned her, her mother had to help her walk everywhere that she went. Her speech was slurred. Don't tell me that sin won't wound you, because it will. And it leaves marks on you. And so sin wounds you. And see, just like that young lady that I was talking about right there, you know what it done? It not only wounded her, but it scarred her, and that for the rest of her life. You looked at her, and even though all her physical wounds was healed up, you knew what happened. Something happened to her because of her sin. Sin's going to leave a scar. I told you the other day I was going to preach on this, and when I was about 5 years old, I wrecked a bicycle. And I've got a scar right here. As I told some of you, as I was preaching, if I let a day's worth of growth get on my face, of whiskers, and you look in the mirror, you can see that scar somewhere right in here. Some of you are looking for it right now. You might be able to see it. I don't know. Some of you go out the door and look, won't you? Huh? Even though that happened when I was 5 years old. You know why that happened? I'm going to blame it on my daddy. He put a speedometer on my bicycle. That was a mistake to do with a boy. Man, that thing registered 25 miles an hour. Now, what do you think I was going to do? I'm going to see if it would go 25 miles an hour. I had to see if it would do it. Now, you know 25 miles an hour is awful fast on a bicycle. Hey, man, the tires ain't balanced and all them things. I mean, just a little old bicycle for a young boy. And here I am, 5 or 6. I was in the first grade. I might have been about 6 years old. And I remember I got down there in front of the Archie and Marjorie Ingram's house. He was the chairman of the deacons where I went to church at growing up. And I remember right there in front of her house, I plowed the road up with my chin. And I remember Daddy picking me up and taking me up there. And she patched me up the best that she could. And he takes me to the hospital. And I remember laying in there on that table and him shooting me up where that doctor could take him tweezers and start picking them rocks out of my chin. You get to mess around in sin, and a doctor will get to start picking rocks out of you. But when he got done picking rocks out of me, y'all caught that, didn't you? He finally stitched me up. I took 8 stitches right across the chin right there. And still today, you can see that from something that happened almost 38 years ago. I'm going to tell you, it'll leave a scar on you that you can't get rid of. You may get right with God, and you may get right with your fellow man, but there's always a scar there that gets left when you get to messing around with sin. It's always up here to remember what you've done.
Amen.
You're saying God don't forgive? Oh no, God forgives. God forgives, and He wipes the slate clean. Hey, listen, when I got saved, all sin was forgiven. But I'm going to be honest with you, friend. There is a relationship that gets hindered, and that when sin comes into our lives. But it leaves a scar. Every wound will leave a scar of some kind. I told you, I've got one on top of my finger here from a job site accident. I've got one up my thumb from acting a fool one day on the job. It just ended up slicing that thumb open. I can still see it without my glasses on. But it leaves a scar. Sin will always do it. Can I tell you tonight, if you don't want to be wounded and you don't want to have a scar, then don't mess with it. Have you ever broke a glass or a vase? And have you ever tried to glue that glass or that vase back together? Now, from afar, it looks pretty good if you glue it together good. But when you start to inspect that thing and you start to look at it, you can begin to see the cracks in it where it's glued back together at. A lot of times that's what happens to us when we mess around sin. We get broke and we get put back together. But a lot of times you can see the lines where we've been glued back together at. I can take you to a fellow right now. He was pastoring a church and his wife left him. He was pastoring and had two kids. Them kids was almost grown. They might have been 16 and 18 years old. And I thought he was doing a fine job where he was pastoring at. But the next thing I heard is she just bailed out. Now, I don't know what all that done to her, but I know what it done to him. You talk to him or you see him, I can see the scars that's on him because of that whole thing getting blown apart. And he's got remarried since then, but I'm telling you that has left a scar on him, a friend, that nothing's going to ever take it away. It's going to be there. So that brings me to number two. Can I tell you tonight that not only will sin and that leave wounds and scars in our life, but the battle can do that. Amen. Now Satan wants to wound us and he wants to scar us. He wants to sift us. Ain't that what the Bible said in the book of Luke? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That means he wants to take you apart, and if you'll let him, he will do it tonight. You know, sometimes we wound ourselves if we're not careful. Have you ever wounded your own self? I just told you about this right here where I cut myself three times before I knowed it by not paying attention to what I ought to been doing. I was coming home one day. I've been to the funeral home up in Loudoun County or in the North City. I was coming back home and I prayed about which way to come home. Sometimes I don't pray about which way to go home. If there's more than one way, sometimes I just go home. But every now and again, I'll pray about what way to go home. You ever do that? I do. If there's more than one way to go home, sometimes I'll pray about how to go home. And so I prayed about how to go home, and I kind of felt like I needed to go down Highway 11. And so I knew that the co-op was coming up on the right-hand side of the road, coming through Loudoun County. And for some unknown reason, and you say, well, preacher, you're crazy. Maybe I'm crazy, but let me be crazy, okay? But at least I felt like I needed to go in there and either witness or go in there and ask them if I could stand out there and preach for a while. I just felt like that needed to happen. But you know what I done? If y'all know where the co-op is in Loudoun County, as I rode through the red light and that co-op's on the right, you know what I done? Rode right on by the co-op. And so me and God, in that turn, begins to ensue into an argument. You ever argue with God? And by the time that I got convinced to turn around and go back, God said, it's done too late. There ain't no need to go back. I told you to stop on your way through. You should have stopped on your way through, but you did not stop. And it's done too late. Does God work that way? Sure. The nation of Israel, what did God tell them to do? He told them to go into the promised land. They sent over 12 spies. 10 come back, said we can't go. 2 said we could. And you know what? They said, we can't go. So God sent His judgment. God said, okay, here's what's going to happen. And after Moses told them all that, they said, we will go on in to the promised land. Moses said, it's done too late. You can't go. And I remember not stopping at the co-op. You say, what was God going to do? I ain't got a clue. But I do know this, when I stand at the judgment seat, I'm going to answer for that. That reminds me, I try to remember that. Do you think about that every day? Nope. But that scar's there. That scar is there from being lazy and being selfish and being prideful and not going in there. I ain't never had that happen before since then. We hurt ourselves sometimes. But you know that church people will hurt you.
Amen.
The brethren will hurt
Amen.
You. I'm talking about wounding you.
Yeah.
Sin will wound you. We wound ourselves a lot of times, messing around in sin and doing some things that we shouldn't do or not doing what we should do. I'm telling you, I ain't never forgot that, driving right by there. You know, Brother Larry talked about that, witnessing, was it to one of his cousins? And the Lord told him to witness to one of his cousins, and he walked in the house, asked him how he's doing, walked back out, never said a word to him, and 3 days later, there's visiting him at the funeral home. I'm telling you, there's some scars that come along when we don't do what we should do. But the brethren will hurt us. 3 John talks about Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them and receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I wish we would be very careful what we say to one another. I really do tonight. I wish as church folk that we would just be very careful what we say and what we imply and how we act around one another. Listen, I know some folk wear their feelings on their sleeve. I know that. And when you're as blunt as I am sometimes, man, if you ain't careful, and if I ain't careful, we'll say something to hurt somebody. You ever seen when trouble slips into a church?
Amen.
And it's inevitable. I watch for this here. I guard against this here. I do. Some of you wonder why I am the way that I am, because I take my job as being a shepherd serious tonight. Because when trouble slips in, it is inevitable that one side and that gets against the other side. Or this group of people gets against this group of people. Or this one gets against that one. And before you know it, somebody has said something that they're going to regret. Can I ask you something? Have you ever said anything that you've regretted that you said? Oh man, I've had my mouth in high gear, wide open as hard as it could go, and the accelerator down, and my mouth just running around, looks like this right here. And before I knew it, something had come out that I wished I hadn't said. Have you ever had to say I'm sorry because of something? I ain't going to say I'm sorry, preacher. I ain't going to do it. Okay. Sometimes that'll fix a wound. Sometimes. But you know, sometimes when you let those words come out of your mouth to somebody or about somebody, you can't put them back in. And it's already said. You do something out of the way, say something out of the way, and people get wounded. James chapter 1 said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." It is amazing that we're the only army that shoots one another. We shoot at one another. Take pot shots at one another sometimes if we ain't careful. And we ought to love one another. I know, hey listen, I know some folk get in sin. I know some folk do some things that ain't right. We'll deal with that when it's time to deal with it. And I'll be honest with you, I know some folk just hard to get along with. You ever been around folks hard to get along with? Some of you are thinking, I'm hard to get along with. I'm easy to get along with.
Amen.
Amen. That's what my wife tells me. Amen. She's been with me for almost 23 years. I hope I'm easy to get along with. But you know, when somebody gets hurt by church people, And I say church people because I'm going to say, if you're a true Christian tonight, you're going to do everything that you can to keep from hurting somebody. Even when you go to restore them, try to restore them because they're in sin. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Hey, listen, there's nothing really hurts worse when somebody who claims to be your brother or sister in Christ stabs you in the back. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You can't do it. When your spirit gets wounded, friend, that thing's hard to bear. It's hard to handle. And I'm going to be honest with you. I can show you a preacher right now who's been hurt by so many church people over the years that he will not let anybody get close to him because of that. If you ain't careful, sometimes we bring some things on ourselves. Mm-hmm. What do you mean we bring things on ourselves? I talked about a few minutes ago about us wearing our feelings on our sleeves. I'm going to say it again. I know we've all been guilty of this, and I've said it probably 100 times over 15 years. How many times have we... somebody did not... talk to us on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Or maybe they didn't shake our hand during fellowship. Well, preacher, they walked right by me and didn't even shake my hand. Or they always speak to me, but they didn't talk to me today. And you know what? If you'll get to dwelling on that thing, you'll have yourself convinced that they're against you. Am I the only one that does that? Maybe I am. You'll get yourself so convinced that they're against you that you're already plotting how you can be against them. Telling truth tonight. I know how your mind works because mine works the same way. My mind don't work that way, preacher. I talked to a lady the other day. She's been out of church for a long time. I tried to get her to come to church. She's been hurt so bad at church. She tried to go back the other day, and she said, I pulled in the parking lot and got ready to go in, and I just could not make myself do it. Hey, she's not carrying a scar, but she's still carrying a wound is what she's carrying. And it's been years ago. Now, sometimes all the time, you got to let the Lord handle that thing, and you got to go on. You know one of the first things they wanted to do for me when they brought me out of surgery and they got me through the nighttime, you know one of the first things they wanted me to do? Get out of bed and go walk. Man, I never was so aggravated. Don't they know they just took 5 inches of my colon out and they cut me open and laid me open and flayed me, and now they want me to get up and walk. They're crazy. But you know one of the best things that you can do in church when you get hurt is to try your best to fix that between whoever it is that has been hurt and go on and serve God anyway. Get back up and go on. Hey, there may be a scar there, but at least that wound will get healed up. Amen. You can keep functioning the way that you want to function. I finally told my wife, and I was in the hospital. I finally got tired of being in that little gown they had me in. And I finally just got up, put me on some clothes. I said, I declare myself well, and I'm getting ready to go home. That's what I done, wasn't it? I started taking care of myself. She quit waiting on me. When she would have to leave, my mom and dad would come up. They'd think that they'd have to take care of me. And I finally said, enough is enough. And I just got up and took care of myself. Sometimes that's what you've got to do when you get wounded, whether it's with church people, whether it's been in the battle. You've got to say, enough is enough. And I'm going to go on no matter what happens. I'm going to go on. You don't know what they done to me, preacher. I may not know But there comes a time you got to get over some things and go on. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? It's awful tough. Leave scars on us. You know, I told you that my scars have about healed up. You can't hardly see them where they took my gallbladder out. You know why? Time. Time's a great healer, ain't it?
Amen.
Time is a great healer. You say, God helps. Who do you think heals your body? Well, God heals your body.
Amen.
Who do you think heals your spirit when it's scarred up and beat up and wounded up because somebody has done or said something who's not had charity and not had kindness and all those things? I'm just telling you tonight, we get wounded. And if we ain't careful, we'll do the wounding. But when that wound gets healed up or starts to heal up, it begins to create a scar. But I do know this. My scars on the outside have healed up from where they took my gallbladder out. But you know, I've got scar tissue on the inside of that thing.
That's right.
And every now and again, that stuff will act up and make me think that my gallbladder's hurt. I ain't got no gallbladder no more. I went one time and about accused my surgeon of not taking my gallbladder out. I did. I really did. He said, I'll guarantee you it's out. I took it out. He said, I got pictures of it. You know what happens every now and again? When the wound gets healed up and it gets took care of, that scar begins to heal up. But there's some scar tissue in there. And every now and again, you know what it does? It acts up and it begins to hurt again. And you know what will happen? It starts to bring back them old thoughts again. How do you fix a wound? You put some medicine on it, don't you? He said, is there not a balm in Gilead in the book of Jeremiah? That balm, that medicine. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? You could go get some medicine and put it on it and get it healed up. I don't know if I've made sense to you all tonight or not, but I know this, that sin will wound you and it'll leave a scar on you. I know that the battle will wound you, and I didn't deal a whole lot with this tonight, and it'll leave a scar on you if you'll let it. But I know this, that we shoot at one another and we knife at one another and we fight with one another, and we're going to wound one another and leave a scar on one another if we ain't careful. And shame on us. Shame on us. Now let's bow our heads across the house. Let's give us a verse of invitation tonight. Maybe you need to come and pray. I don't know the need in your heart this evening. Maybe tonight you're fooling around in sin, messing around in sin, doing some things you shouldn't do. God has showed you. God is convicting you about that. And you need to come deal with it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to wound you. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. And if you get wounded bad enough, it'll kill you. I didn't talk about that tonight. You mess around in sin long enough, it'll kill you.
That's right, man.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
It's going to kill you tonight. But you know what happens sometimes, friend? We shoot at each other and wound one another. And we get wounded so bad sometimes from a church person, from somebody in church. It may not kill us physically, but it kills us spiritually. Just like I was telling you about that lady that got hurt in church. Man, that thing has just about killed her spiritually. I see her once a week because I have to deal with her over at the nursing home. And I try to talk to her and listen, she's been wounded. Been wounded. It's going to leave a scar, friend. Going to leave a scar. Won't you, maybe tonight you've been wounded by somebody. You can come and get some balm of Gilead and put on it. Maybe tonight that scar tissue's acting up. You know what my doctor told me to do when I get to hurt? And take a little medicine. And it'll help you. Tonight, I'm telling you, if that scar tissue has jumped out and it's flared up and you're thinking about something that happened a long time ago and it's just been eating at you here lately, won't you just come put a little medicine on it and let God handle that tonight? He knows how. I tell you, God knows how tonight. He knows how to help you. He knows how to help you. You know, all I wanted to do with this message tonight was to keep you from getting wounded and having to bear them scars that come with it. I just don't want you to have to bear them scars. I don't want you to have to go through that wound, that hurt and that pain and that sorrow of what sin can do, what the lack of us doing what we should for God, getting hurt in church. Oh, shame on us sometimes. But we'll love one another. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Paul said that for us to grow up there in one point. He said, for us not to be children, he said, but in malice, he said, to be his children. What's he talking about? Children can be mad at one another one minute and playing together the next. Learn how to let it go. Learn how to just let that thing go. Maybe somebody said something to you out of the way. Just let it go. All I want to do with this message was to keep you from getting wounded and keep you from bearing some scars tonight in your heart and in your mind and on your body. I just don't want you to bear no scars tonight. If you need to come, won't you come? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the help that you've given us. I pray that the message has been encouragement to people, been instruction to people. Help those that need it. There may be some others that need to come tonight, find some strength and help. God, help us. Help us to obey you, to be faithful to you, because sin's going to wound us. Be cautious about how we walk and how we talk. Be cautious about how we treat one another and how we treat you tonight. It's going to wound us and scar us if we ain't careful. Pray you'd help tonight during this invitation for Jesus' name.